up together this morning with one voice. Nothing shall be impossible.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Haven Community Church. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Just be still, oh my soul, I will wait on the Lord. He has overcome, I will sing Jesus. In the dark, in the depths, you're my hope, you're my rest. On this rock I stand, I will sing Jesus. Just be still, oh my soul, I will wait. The Lord, He has overcome. I will sing Jesus. In the dark, in the depths, you're my hope, you're my rest. On this rock I stand. I will sing Jesus. I will sing Jesus. Jesus. name is Jesus. He's awesome, right? Lord, we just praise you that we can come here today and gather and just give you glory and honor. And no matter what goes on in the world, we know you have power. But even if you don't, we're going to praise you. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody says amen. All right, say good seeing you at church today. A couple of you and the rest of you, go ahead to our kids, Haven Kids.
Good morning. You guys are just getting so good at that, dang. Well, I'm full of myself because the weather is amazing. I do know it's going to change. Boxes. 300 and maybe plus. We collected enough money to finish what we needed. We had 284 physical and a few other stragglers coming in, but we hit our 300. So you guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And say goodbye because they're leaving Wednesday to go to storage for the children. And trunk or treat. How many of you got to come last night? Exciting, exciting. 60 kids, and I heard Elvis was in the house. And this is an apology from last week because I write notes and I always, always forget somebody. James praises. A couple months ago, you might remember, we prayed for him. He was trying out for the part of Daniel at Sight and Sound, and he has been blessed with a contract. And that was on my list last week, and I missed it, so I'm sorry. Community Kitchen, Bill, are we good? Good. Thank you, everybody, for signing up. We're going to have great Sloppy Joes this Friday. It's all good. And I do have to shout out to my sister-in-law. I've been bugging her for months to get online. She told me she was, but she got off last week right before I got up. I said, what kind of thing is that? So she better be on there, Kathy. Stephen Ministers, I want to shout out. We need you. If it's in your heart, pray on it and see one of us because we're going to be recruiting and starting a new training class real soon. And today I have a long list of prayers, so we're going to get going. This is anonymous. I have a friend in a new job starting tomorrow, and unspoken prayers for family and mental health. And I don't know who that is, but we will keep you in prayer. Willard has asked us that his mom wants us to shout out a prayer for her sister who had surgery this past week. So we want to keep her in prayer for healing. Jen Arrow's mom took a tumble and had a fall. We're praying that she heals and is doing okay. Marge, I don't know what happened to her, but she left here last week and went straight to the hospital. But she's back. So we're going to pray all those tests came back good and keep her healthy. Tammy Morris, her dad, Sam, has now got pneumonia, and he's in end-stage COPD. So we want to lift him in prayer because that's not a good place to be. So we want to keep him in prayer. Tara Cowden has reached out to us for prayers for her recovery. She doesn't have a way to get to church, but we want her to know we're praying for her. Mr. Shrubs, you just got out of the hospital, and you're gone already. He's gone. Where'd that man go? He goes faster than I can keep up with him. Ruth, her sister Debbie, is going to be having surgery November 6th for her cancer, and her husband Jerry is also going through therapy for his cancer. So we want to lift that family in prayer, and they're out in Oregon, so we're going to really shoot them out there, okay? Emily has asked for some unspoken prayers, so we will ask for those. And Teresa Musaw is preparing her talk for the walk to Emmaus. So prayers with you, and all the words come from the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to go to God in prayer. You could put your hands on your knees if you like. That's just how I do it. We're going to give it to God. We're going to give it to him. And I want you all to know that last night, God kept this child awake pretty much all night because I was at work. But second, because I prayed for this church. And I went visually from this end all the way across. And every one of you that I know on my heart, I lifted you in prayer for whatever's going on in your life. Those you I don't know, I lifted you also. And I want to get to know you. Because God does keep me pushing that prayer chain every day. So I do want you to know you were lifted in prayer last night. Sandy, your sister, everybody. Everybody that has something going on in their life, because this world, as we know it today, is certainly upside down. And I want to pray to Jesus that he protects those people that are under fire, Protect those people that are fighting the demons of mental health and recovery. And I ask that Jesus be with all of us and heal us. Give us his good grace and his love. And all we have to do is ask for it. And in Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. I see those smiles over there. Okay. Woo, woo! Okay, last Sunday we had four cakes, and today all we got is cookies, so you'll just have to have a cookie. Congratulations.
We've all been there. Yearning for change, trying to change our ways, but stuck in our old familiar patterns. It is in those moments that we recognize the limits of our own potential and our undeniable need for God's grace and power. So often, we tend to falter, knowing that real and lasting change is simply not upon us. The heart, like the spots of a leopard, can be so deeply ingrained with patterns and tendencies that we realize we can't change ourselves. Change is not just a wish. It's about surrendering ourselves to the one who can rewrite our lives. And it is through God's grace and power where we can indeed change our spots.
I'm talking, honey. I'm right here. That's my granddaughter, if you're visiting. She knows her papa's going to talk, and she's dressed as Supergirl today. She's cute, just like her grandfather. So cute like her grandfather, right? You know, all right. How you doing?
Good.
All right. That was pretty lame. How you doing?
Good.
All right, that's much better. Much better. There we go. Great to have Wes preach last week after the year you had, right? And then just a good to see you. Now, last year you preached for me, and then you had a heart and hospital and other stuff. Don't do that this year. You're not allowed, all right? And then he was so good, he went and made lots of hot dogs with Gretchen out here like the other night, and I ate some, so you'll forgive me. So when I talk something later in the sermon, forgive me for my hot dogs. But anyway, it's good. We had a chance to go out to West Virginia. We're going to go out there every year for homecoming, and I got to see somebody who I haven't seen for 30 years, and he lives all the way in Ellicott City, Maryland. So, I mean, an hour away. I go 4 hours to see somebody for 30 years. So it was really kind of cool to see that, and West Virginia played horrible. But anyway, the Phillies lost too, so it's been a bad sports week. But anyway, it's all good. I'm glad that that we can go ahead, and all that stuff is just fun, and it's even more fun when they win. But it's all good that we get a chance to go ahead and do that. The women had a great retreat. Thanks, Laura and the team, for all your leadership. So there's a lot of cool things going on. I love the fact that when people ask me something that's going on in the church, I have no clue. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing as a pastor. Because I had a seminary professor who once told me the job of every pastor is to work themselves out of a job, because that's when the body of Christ is really working. So that's awesome. I knew nothing about the women's retreat. I didn't even know what Wes was going to preach about, so it was really awesome. I knew a little bit because he mentioned one thing, but it's just really awesome to see God's people really connecting and doing things. And all I had to do was show up as Elvis this year, not Superman. And there are pictures and some videos, I don't know, but and just eat hot dogs. So it was really kind of cool. But anyway, so thank you to everybody for everything that you do in the church. So we are going to start a new series today called Changing Spots. And I wanted to ask you a question. You know, it's really interesting. We're getting close to the end of this year. Isn't that hard to believe? But how many of you began 2023 with something that you wanted to change in your life. Like whether it was a New Year's resolution or just something you said, hey, I want to change that. Anybody do that? Anybody? How's it going? All right. So if you are doing well with that change, if somebody's doing well with that change, I want to let you know that you are the exception, not the rule. Because according to a study, 40 million people made that commitment and then it's not going well. Actually, Inc. magazine wrote about this study and they found that a majority of us quit our resolutions or things we want to change by the second Friday in January. So we really got some staying power there. Most of us started with really good intentions. You know, okay, how many of you have done this? Okay, it's the holiday season. I'm going to eat all I want. I'm going to do all that stuff. And then January 1st or January 2nd, because people are coming over, January 2nd, I'm going to start differently. Anybody ever said that or thought that, all right? We've all kind of been there. There's some more sad news that by the end of the year, our goals that we have had, we may have had some goals that we just put in, say, hey, I have some goals that I want to accomplish. And then as we come to this point of the year, we go, oh, I really didn't do that. I really didn't do anything with that. And we may have things like, you know, I want to get to that weight that I had. And you're like, not happening now. Or I want to spend less this year than I did last year. Or I want to read the Bible daily. And you start that app, and then it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm behind again. And you keep trying to catch up. So what I want to do is to talk to those of you who want to change something in your life, who hope to change, who have tried to change. And I want to let you know that you've tried all those things, and you've gotten to the point that you actually think, oh, my gosh, this is how it's going to be. I don't think change is really possible. So what the title of this message is, Ready to Be Unstuck. And If you really want to do that, just kind of think, hey, I'm ready to be unstuck. Because so many of us, when we've tried to change something, we end up trying and we feel frustrated. We get kind of frustrated. Some of us even get angry. Others of us may get exhausted. I'm trying this again. I'm trying to do this again. Or some of us may even be embarrassed. Like the embarrassed nature is how many people we share that this is what our goals are this year. Oh, this year I'm going to do this. And then we run into somebody half of the year and like, sorry, about midweek January, I didn't get there. And so we get to that point. But here's the good news. You ready for some good news in all this? Are you ready for some good news? Okay, the good news is you are not alone. You're not alone at all. And we're in really good company because the guy who wrote most of the New Testament or a large portion of it, he understands what it's like. His name's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul penned these words in Romans chapter 7. He said, I really don't understand myself. How many of you have been in that situation? I really don't understand myself, for I want to do what is right. You really want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Maybe that's why Marge was in the hospital last week. Who knows? But, you know, you have this thing in you. You really, really want to do what's right. You really want to eat right. You really want to spend right. And then all of a sudden you go to out here and you see all that, like, good, unhealthy food today, right? I mean, it's like, oh my, you know, something about, what is it about peanut M&Ms? I'm right? I saw somebody with a diet thing that you just take one and suck on it. I'm like, are you crazy? You take handfuls and throw them down your face, right? But like, you want to do what's right. You want to do what's right. You want to spend less. You want to say, no, I don't need that. Yet, there's that thing and the new improved iPhone or the new improved whatever. And you say, ah, darn it, I did it again. So you want to do what's right, but you don't. But I don't do it, he says. I don't do it. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. That is called Jack's life story, right? I want to do what's right. I don't do it. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. And then look at what he says. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Keep in mind who's talking about this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the person who wrote most of the New Testament, who started churches, who did so many things that are amazing, who, if it wasn't for him, where would we be as a church with church doctrine and all kinds of things? He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. If he's saying he's a miserable person, I'm even more miserable. Are you with me? And so what we have here is we have this whole situation where how many of us can relate to Paul when he says this? I can. Many times in your life, when you've tried to do the right or the best or the good thing, you don't do it. And you ask yourself, what in the world is wrong with me? You ever just had that mirror talk? What what is wrong with me? Or, I mean, I tried to change it this year, and I tried to change it last year, and I tried to change it the year before. I've done everything they said I'd do again. I set goals. I made vows. I brought workout clothes and even ate bad-tasting food when there was better-tasting food. I got my daily planner, and I made a vision board. I've got reminders that pop up on my phone and my watch and everything. I did everything I was supposed to. Yet, I had the right intentions, but here I am again. Nothing. Nothing happened. And, you know, a lot of us say, well, maybe we have the wrong strategy. The problem is that we're trying to change, and we're trying to change the wrong way. And that's what I want to talk to you about in this new series called Changing Spots. And we're going to talk about how God's Word teaches us some things about change, the right way and the right strategies. So this week what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay a foundation. Next week I'm going to put a little bit more of a foundation down. And then we're going to look at the remainder of the series, how Scripture talks about habits and how it works along with what science has also said, because God created science, so he should know. And so the core of this message series that I want to give to you is how can we go through lasting change in areas of our lives, because we all have them. So what do we know about real change that occurs? Real change is not behavioral modification, okay? It's not, because often we get in those practices and then we get off of those, okay? We may do it for a while and then we say, okay, yeah, well, I'll just not do it this time, and then before we know it. Or you may be somebody who wants to get healthier, and you start working out, and you have this pattern, and then that day you sleep in. And you're like, man, that sleep was really good. And then you're like, well, I'll go later. And later never comes, right? So you get in these patterns. So it's not behavioral modification. But what real change is, it's spiritual transformation. It starts spiritually. And it's not what is changing on the outside, but it's what God is changing on the inside that makes an outward change. And so we really need to look at it is spiritual transformation. And that's what the Apostle Paul talked about further in Romans 7. He said, I'm trying to do what's right, but I just can't do what I want to do. I do what's wrong, but I don't want to do it. And so he continues and he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. And he asks this question, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? He's asking a big question. In other words, he said, I've tried to make all these changes. I've tried to do what's right. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. So who's going to free me from this? Because you know how sometimes when you really want to change something and yet you still deal with the repercussions of our bad choices, that we ended up at a point like we feel trapped. We feel just closed in, and we're like, I need somebody that can rescue me from myself. And the answer, he gives us the answer too. I love tests like this. He said, thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer that can really help me change and help me get through this is Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, so you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I'm in bondage. I'm a slave to sin. He says, he gives us this answer. The answer is, thank God that it's not my effort. Thank God it's not my commitment. Thank God it's not my outward behavior. Anybody glad that you know, salvation and change is not about your outward behavior? All right? It's the answer is Jesus Christ. It's not behavior modification. It is spiritual transformation. And so what I want to do in the next few weeks is show us how we as Christians often will try to change the wrong way, but there's a right way that we can do that. So what I want to start with today is there's three mindsets that Christians approach when we want to change and transform. And I'm not talking about like complete like, oh my gosh, you're not yourself, you're weird, you're too super weird now. No, I'm talking about the things that God wants us to change to make us stronger. And these three things are this. The first two I'm going to give you are wrong, all right? I'm going to give you two wrong ones first. So the first one is this. We have an approach, God, then me. God, then me. Everybody say God, then me. All right, so what we believe here is it's God, and then it's up to me. So God initiates the relationship with us by drawing or wooing us in by the Holy Spirit. His grace changes us. We're saved by his grace. We're heaven bound. We're saved. And God does the work of bringing us into the family. And we're so grateful for that. And then God says, it's up to you now. Enjoy. It's all up to you. I did my part. I said, you come here, come here, come here. I love you, I love you. Okay, you're saved, and good luck. And there's many people who wrongly believe this mindset, that if it's going to be, if I'm going to be the best Christian, the best person I possibly can be, it's all up to me because God already saved me and I just got to deal with it right now. I got to go ahead. I got to suck it up. I got to change it. And when we fail, we look at ourselves as a failure and we go ahead and say, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be, but I got to get it right. I got to get it right. In our language, we hear Christians say this. Well, I'm trying to stop losing my temper with my kids. Or I'm trying to stop cussing. Bleep it. You know, right? That's what we might say that. Or I'm trying to get close to God, and I'm trying to stop spending 4 hours a day scrolling on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and all those other things. We believe that God saved me, but if I'm going to make it, it's going to be up to me. I got to do it. And it's a wrong mindset. And so the first one is, it's God and then me. The second one is also wrong. And this one is God, not me. Everybody say God, not me. The first one is all about our effort, okay? God saved me, now I got to do it. This one basically absolves us from everything and our responsibility. And this one is, and there's a lot of Christians that do have this mindset, it's God, not me. So what it does, it shifts all of responsibility from me to God. That God has to do everything, and I don't do anything, it's all God. So here's the example. I don't like my job. Well, I'm going to quit my job for the glory of God, and God's going to bring me a new one. And I'm just going to sit around and wait for God to bring me a new one because God doesn't want me here. Come on, God, I quit. Where's my job? All right? Many of you found out that's probably not the best strategy if you've tried that. And you think, I want to know God closer. I really want to get closer to God. But you haven't cracked open your Bible since 1995. And you haven't been in church or even connected to anything since pre-COVID, right? And so you're wondering why there's this distance. I want to get close to God. And God's like, you, I'm over here. And you're like, I really want to get close to God. He's like, I'm over here. And you're like, but why am I not close to God? I want to. I'm trying to. And he says, I'm over here, right? And so we're doing the things, and we're just saying, God, well, I walked over here. Come get me. And that's one of the things I love about the story of the prodigal son, how the father every day went and looked for the son, wanted him back in the house, wanted to embrace him, but he did not go to a far country to get him. But as soon as the son turned around to come back, the father ran and met him. And many of us are not close to God because we have this idea that it's all God, not me, that we're over living the prodigal life in the pig pen in a far off country, and we're like, where's God? Why am I not close to him? He said, I'm over here home. All you have to do is come back. All right, so we have that. So we say it's God and not me. Or you may go ahead and have this. You say, I spend so much more than I make over and over and over and over and over again. And then what do? You go ahead and you buy 25 Powerball tickets. And you say, oh, God, you're going to bless me on this one. And if God, you do, you ever make deals with God? And God, if I hit Powerball, I'm going to give a little bit to the church, right? You say that, you know, and we go through those things. And God, you know I'd bless you if you give it to me. And God said, why don't you bless me now with what I've already given you? And so, you know, we make a joke, but that's kind of how many of us approach that. There's more people probably praying in a Powerball line with a ticket than there are in churches at times. So we have these three mindsets. We have, there's God and then me, and then there's God and not me. And the third one is the correct one, all right? I gave you the wrong ones. Here's the correct one. God through me. Everybody say God through me. How do we really change? As I said, it's not behavioral modification. It's spiritual transformation. How do we transform spiritually? God through me. God through me. And we see how the Apostle Paul recognizes this. He says, I'm trying to change, but I can't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it. And then look how I love how he shows this to us. I love his humility and his dependence on God. If we go to 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, for I am the least of the apostles, and I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. Because I persecuted the church of God. So Paul is basically saying, you know, I've done some bad stuff. And I don't deserve any of this at all. Now, when you look at this again, it's Paul. This is Paul, who writes a major chunk of the New Testament, Paul. This is Paul who started a bazillion churches, Paul. This is Paul who was beaten for his faith and left dead for his faith. This is Paul who went and confronted Simon Peter, who was the big guy in the church when he thought he was doing wrong, and he was. It's that Paul. And he says, I'm the worst here. I'm the least, and I don't even deserve to be called that. And he says, basically, based off of my qualifications, on my sin, I rank low. I'm not good. I'm the least of all the apostles. I don't deserve to be called that because I killed people who I thought were part of the church. I rounded them up. I did all this kind of stuff, and I don't deserve this. And he said, in all that I am, I don't deserve any of it. And then he says the key thing. But, everybody say but. By the grace of God, not my talent, not my education, not my good works, not my efforts. He said, because of the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, one of the things I love about that statement, that gets passed over a lot. I am what I am. Everybody say, I am what I am. If you want to sound like Popeye, go ahead and I am what I am. You know, whatever you want to do. All right? I am what I am. One of the things that Christians have a problem with is we have short-term memory. We forget where we were and what we did before the grace of God came into our lives. And then we go ahead and treat other people like dirt. And we need to remember, I don't deserve any of this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am called to be where I am because of the grace of God. That's the only thing. I should be smote. I should be like a little burn spot somewhere. That's what I deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve to be in eternity in hell because of my sin and my rebellion against God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am through him. Are you got me? Because a lot of Christians forget that. We forget. We take a legalistic approach to things. We forget about compassion. We forget about love. We say, hey, I'm saved, and I've got this whole thing. And instead of sharing with people from a point of compassion, we get legalistic, and we forget about where we were and who we are. And if it isn't for the grace of God, we all bust hell wide open. I don't have that in my notes. That's free today, all right? But look at what he says. I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. He says, because of who I've been and because of what I am, his grace changed me. His grace changed me. And look what he says. He said, no, I worked harder than all of them. And when he said this, Paul wasn't lying. He did work harder. He got up earlier. He stayed up later. He started more churches. He raised up more leaders. He preached the gospel more intensely, more ferociously. He was beaten up and beaten up and beaten up again. He was left for dead. He was whipped. He was snake bitten. It was a poisonous snake. He just flung off. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted. They tried to kill him, and he kept coming back and back. And none of that he did was good enough alone. And then he says, yet all that stuff I did, yet not I, but the main thing was the grace of God that was with me. And all that. He says, I'm no good. I don't deserve to be here. But by the grace of God, he did something in me. His grace was not without effect. It changed me and strengthened me. Remember, real change is not behavioral modification. And so what I want to show you and what I want you to know this is this. The same grace that saves you is the same grace that can change you. The same grace that saves you is the same grace that changes you. And Paul used every bit of energy and effort that his physical body could use. But it wasn't just him and his strength alone. It was the grace of God through Paul. Real change is not God, then you. Real change is not God, not you. Real spiritual change is God through you. It's not behavioral modification. It is spiritual transformation. So now I know what you're saying. You're saying, okay, well, preacher boy, what does this look like? Like on Monday, when I want to eat 4 bags of chips and I want to change, where's the grace of God in that, all right? And when I want to yell at my coworker who is just such an imbecile and I want to lock them in the utility closet all for the glory of God, when I do that, where is the grace of God in those areas? And if real change is God through you, what does it look like in my week? And this is really important. As this is one of the most important things. You may want to write it down. I want to make sure you pay really close attention because I'm going to give you a really important secret here. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. For real change to be spiritual transformation, it has to be spiritual. I'm going to say it again. You look shocked. For real change to be spiritual transformation, it has to be spiritual. Oh, you guys are good. All right. It has to be spiritual. It has to be spiritual. It has to be empowered by God's Spirit. If real change is spiritual transformation, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it. So here's what's going to happen. This new year is going to roll around in 65 days. You guys just said, I got to get Christmas shopping, all right? You're going to say, I want to change this. So you're going to have your why. For instance, I'm tired of wearing my super stretchy big pants and waistband, and I want to get in my skinny jeans. Some people are like, I am not going to get my skinny jeans. And they're saying, please, Jack, don't get in your skinny jeans, all right? All right, but anyway, and you're going to have your why, all right? And you're going to have your plan, your how. You're going to say, you're going to look at whatever diet that works. Remember the diets over the years? You had the South Beach. You had the keto. You had the Atkins. Atkins was where you ate, like, more meat than was in the refrigeration section, right? But no potatoes, right? Remember that? No starches and things like that. You had those. You're going to get your new workout plan. Last year was CrossFit. This year it's pickleball, right? Next year, it'll be maybe Jane Fonda will make a comeback. Who knows, all right? Maybe it'll be Richard Simmons sweating to the oldies. I don't know. Of course, the oldies are probably the 80s now or 90s. That tells you where it's changed. So you're going to have your why, and you're going to have your how, your plan. And you're going to put that together. And what I want to suggest to you, in order to truly make change, because remember, that why, the natural why and the natural how are basically your behavior modification. But I want you to add spiritual to that. I want you to add to have a spiritual why and a spiritual how. And you say, okay, Jack, well, what is that? What is a spiritual why? A spiritual why, your spiritual why is God's purpose for you. Okay? What is God's purpose for you? That's your spiritual why. What is your spiritual how? Your spiritual how is God's power through you. Right, so you got that? So you got God's purpose in your spiritual why. You got God's power in your spiritual how. And it's not your effort. It's not your behavior modification. It's spiritual transformation. So how does this play out? Let's take a look here. Your spiritual why. You get that little notification on your phone that says you spent 95 hours on your phone this week. And you're thinking, I should probably spend a little less time on my phone. Why are you going to do that? Because I don't want to spend that much time on my phone. That's the natural why. So get a spiritual reason. Okay, what's your spiritual reason? Who or what is God? God is love. What is our greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love others as yourself. My spiritual why is I'm probably not loving God and others as much as I could if I'm spending 95 hours a week with my face in a phone just clicking like rather than spending time in their life. You get me? See the difference? And so we might want to do that. That's your spiritual why. I want to get better at money. Why? Because I'm tired of being broke. Not a bad idea, but it's a natural idea. But if we add spiritual to that, here's what changes. Everything that I have comes from God, and one of the best ways I can worship and honor him is by being a wise steward, managing his resources to a point where I'm not trying to just pay bills, but I can be a blessing to people around me. That I can do 400 boxes if I want to because I've trusted it to God. You with me? See the difference? The difference is there. So if you add a spiritual why to this, the spiritual why is what changes your heart. I want to get in better shape. Why? So I can look good in my Speedo. Hashtag I'm in spandex in a couple months, right? No, that's not good for anybody, all right? But summer will be back again in a few months, so you got to get ready for it. Or you may say, I want to lose weight because high school reunion is coming up, and I want to make sure everybody says, man, you haven't changed a bit. And you're like, no, I haven't. You know, you haven't eaten in 3 months, but yeah, you know what I mean. So what if I went ahead and added a spiritual why to the why? What if I went ahead and said, you know, as I read the scripture, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to honor God with the temple, this body that he gave me. I want to be as healthy as I possibly can. And for spiritual transformation to take place, it has to be? There we go. All right. So what about the spiritual how? That's the spiritual why. So if you want to add the spiritual how, Zechariah, I love what it says in Zechariah. And it says this: it is not by might, not by willpower, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. So when the spirit is working through you, you're not on your own. Paul said, it's not me, but it's his grace. So what we have is we have a willpower, but we have a stronger power that is more powerful than any of our will. And for instance, I'll give you an example. Have anybody ever been on or seen those pedal tours that they have in cities? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I think we have a slide of it right here. Right there. Anybody have one of these? Anybody ever done this? Who's ever done this? I have, okay? So, okay, well, I gave you something to do in your life, all right? And they have pedal tours where you can go see all kinds of historic things and restaurants and bars and whatever else you want. And you get on this thing, and you're on there with people you bring and strangers, and everybody's in a good mood at first. Because everybody's seat has pedals. That's why it's called a pedal tour, all right? So you get on there, and you start pedaling, and you're pedaling, and you know when you get on a bike, you're like, you're really fast. Let's see how fast we can get this thing to go. And then you hit a hill. And it's like, and old Spahn's going, and you start doing that. And so we went on this pedal tour. We got a Groupon. Remember Groupon? We got one back in the day. So we got on, and we went up, and everybody's happy, and they're playing music like, and lights everywhere. And you're going on this thing, and you know, I'm like, I'm going to pedal. I'm pedaling. I'm like almost standing up doing the pedal thing and doing that. And then I look around. I see people laughing, like smiling. I'm like, what? I'm sweating, you know. This is not fun. Can we get off and get a bus? You know. And then I look, and I see people, they aren't pedaling at all. And then I realize something. It has a motor in it. Right? It has a motor in it. So what did Jack do? It was a lot easier of a ride, a lot better of a ride, a lot smoother ride. I was less worn out when I just kind of pedaled a little bit. You know, he going uphill, he boom, you know, he kicked it on. I think the last hour of the tour, we were just boom, all around. I don't think we turned the pedal at all. And what I'm saying is this is a great illustration of God through me. Of God through me. Because the other ones are we want just nothing but, you know, just a car going around, and or we just want, hey, I'm going to do all the pedaling. And in many ways, when it happens, we lose all our energy and power when we are trying to change, when we are trying it by our own power. But there is a motor that we have available to us. It's a stronger power, and it's not by my might and not by my strength or my willpower, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord himself. So when we connect our spiritual why to our spiritual how, we have a spiritual transformation that will flow from the inside out into our lives. There's been several areas of my life where God has helped change. And we talked about labels 2 weeks ago. And when you think that you're not good at school, when you think that you're not this, you start to add that. But when you start to say, well, God has given me abilities and God is going to work in and through me. And when you have God working in and through you, some things happen. Or like several years ago, you know, I just totally had let my health completely go. And when I was in my 30s, I couldn't even move. I would talk to people like this because I had disc deterioration in my neck. And I would talk to people like that. I didn't realize it, but I had it there. And I started going to therapy and they started lifting weights and building up neck muscles. And I said, well, why am I paying you $20 a time when I can go ahead and get the gym membership? And so I went to the gym and I had a purpose to do that because I didn't want to talk to people like this. And I thought, if I'm in my 30s, what am I going to look like in my 50s and 60s? And then I continued even more so. And then I got to a point where I was at the gym and I was doing stuff, but it wasn't going anywhere. And so I said, hey, you know what? I got to hire a trainer and he's going to work out food and he's going to do all this kind of stuff. And then when I really wanted, I started, there was one time a friend of mine came over to my house. And it was on a Saturday, and I was sitting doing church work, and I was having problems breathing, and my chest was pounding, and I felt like I was having a heart attack. And my friend came over, and he and I went to pick up some a bushel of crabs for our families to eat, and we were there, and he said, man, you know, God has you here for a purpose, and don't you want to see your grandchildren? He said, I'm telling you from my own point that I knew my time was going to be done if I didn't do something in my life, if I didn't make a change. And so part of that change was, yes, I wanted to be healthier and I didn't want to feel as bad. But the other part of that change was that I recognized what I heard somebody else say is that, you know, you can be more effective for God if you get your health better. You can be around longer if you really take the things that are there. So instead of just going to the gym to take care of this neck problem and going just to kibitz and talk with people, I started to do like, I met with a trainer. I started to learn about eating clean and started to learn about cardio and working out and all those kinds of things that went with it. And I had a motivation to be healthy, but now I had a spiritual why and a spiritual how that was in there. I started researching on how important water is for your body, and that you have to drink that and don't drink other stuff. And it's rare if ever, you know, and I'm not beating them up, but for me, if I look at a soda, it goes and stays on me in a very negative place and very negative ways. So I haven't had soda in many years. I had a sip the other day because that was all they had, you know, and so I don't miss it in my life. You know, I remember going to my trainer and saying, he said, what do you like to eat? I said, you ain't taking pizza from me. You know, I love pizza. And he said, once a week. Now, I've gotten off of that a little bit, but, you know, I got to get back to the spiritual why. And so I learned about supplements. I learned about cardio, and I don't like cardio, but I learned about it, and I still do it. I learned a bunch of other nerdy stuff that you would find very boring that impacted my life. And people say, hey, Jack, you look good. What's your workout? It's not about my workout. It's about what I put into my body. And when I recognize that, if I looked at my body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, I don't want to fill my temple with all the junk that I have my whole life. If it's God's temple and he wants me around for a purpose, I can't put all that junk in my life because of the way it affects my temple, the temple of God. And so I have to change that. There's other people, you are put together in a way that you could eat everything out there and you wouldn't gain a pound. I hate you, all right? But bottom line is, I know for me, that I had to change some things in my life. And there's been times where, yes, I fail. And yes, I got to get back to my spiritual why and my spiritual how, not just behavioral transformation. Because every morning when that alarm goes off and it's early and it's dark and it's cold, except for the last couple days, when it's warm, you don't want to go either. And you just go, you get up and you go, by my willpower, it ain't happening. But the spiritual why and the spiritual how then comes in and changes who I am and my purpose. So you may say, what do? You add a spiritual why with the help of Jesus. You may say, I want to overcome this addiction because I'm not a slave. Scripture says I'm not a slave to any sin. But by the power of Jesus and with other professionals, I'm going to get free. There's a spiritual why. So for instance, you may say, I want to get more organized. I want to get more organized because I'm tired of the house being a mess. That's a natural why. But what if you say, I want to get more organized because God is a God of order. And God works best. He always takes chaos and puts it in order. Therefore, I'm going to organize my life so I can order the things around it that matter most so I can be more available for God. Or what if you say, I want to pray with my spouse and my family. Why? Because I just want to check up with them. Yeah, that's a natural why. But what if you say, because I know that I'm told to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to it. So if I want my spouse, my friends, my family to be under the blessing of God, and we want to be united as a family where Satan can't attack, what do I want to do? I want to pray with them, and I want to get them together because I'm going to seek God with them first so that everything else is added to their lives and he's taken care of. You got me? So what your first assignment is in this series is to define your spiritual why. It may start from a natural why, but what's the spiritual why? What's God's purpose for you? And then you're going to work into your spiritual how. How can you have God's power in that area work through you? And it's a great start because one of the things, one of the biggest challenges from a natural why to a spiritual why and success and failure is because the scripture tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I always used to think that that was, I always thought it was God, not me in that area. I always thought that God, that I was just going to accept Jesus and he was going to go, boom, your mind is transformed. And I'd be like, woo, I think differently. That's not how what the scripture says. It says, be transformed. You be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Who renews your mind? You, with God through you. It's a teamwork there. Okay? It's not all you saying, I gotta change my mind. I can't think that way. When you say I can't think that way, you think that way, you know? So how do we get transformed? By the renewing of our minds. We make a commitment. Why? Because I want to think and focus on the things of God. And I want God to be available to me. And how do I do that? Because I recognize that he that is within me is stronger than he is in the world. So I tell myself, I am disciplined. Everybody say, I'm disciplined. I am disciplined. Come on, do it more. I am disciplined. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I am disciplined because Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. Everybody say it with me. I am disciplined because Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. You know why I say that? Because I'm not disciplined. I'm not. In life, I'm not disciplined. I've told you before, I'm ADHD. I mean, my discipline goes out the window when you put a laser pointer out somewhere. I'm like a cat, you know. And so in order to be disciplined, I have to transform my mind by saying I am disciplined. Why? Because I have a spiritual why and a spiritual how. And if I am disciplined in that way, how can I be disciplined? Jack on his own cannot be disciplined, but the Spirit of Christ within me is greater than the wrong desires that are in me. Everybody get it? Okay. So what I mean by I'm not disciplined is I like to eat everything that tastes awesome that is horrible for you. I will never understand why chocolate cake tastes so much better than rice cakes. I've eaten so many rice cakes and tried to make them good, and I just think it's like eating styrofoam, right? But I've never had to put anything on chocolate cake except for ice cream and hot fudge, right? And that's just extra, all right? I like to be lazy by nature. I don't want to do cardio. I don't go, yes, it's cardio time. Some of you are weird like that. Woo, I get to run. There was a guy here the other night, and I had my Elvis costume on, and I went over to him, and I said, hey, I see you at the gym. And he lifted up, he goes, oh, yeah, there you are. And I've seen him for years. And he gets on, and he runs fast, and he runs a long time. And I'm like, that's awful. I'm the guy who's like, countdown, how much time? Oh, 20 more minutes, how much time? 19 more minutes, how much time? 18 more minutes. That's me. That's me when I work on that. Other people are like, hey, can we go for 5 more hours? I'm like, no. That's just how it is. My nature is selfish. I am selfish by nature. I like for me. And my selfish nature is not disciplined. But I declare that I need to renew my mind. So I am disciplined. Why? Not because I have the skills to be disciplined, but because it's not me, it's the Spirit of God in me, which is greater than the wrong desires that are in me. So the times that you look at the stuff, your choice may be wishy-washy at times, and it can be, and you go back to your spiritual why with God's power. So I eat better, and guess what? You're going to fail. I work out focus, and some days you're just going to be all over the place. I take proper medicines. I had this kidney thing that came out of nowhere. I have some other things that are going on. I'm like, what the heck? And then we can get to the point where, why do that? You know, hey, I'm falling apart on the inside. But if it wasn't for me making the focus of the spiritual why and the spiritual how, I'd be in a much worse place than I am now. So how does this apply to you? You're tempted to lose your temper at your kids. And so you do. Sorry. But you remember if you have a spiritual why and spiritual how, no, I want to leave my kids with the example of Christ, and I want a spiritual legacy that they remember. So you got a spiritual why, and what's your spiritual how? I can't, when my kids annoy me or make me angry, anybody else with me? All right? I do not have the willpower not to want to choke them. Right? But Christ through me, I have available to me the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his gentleness, his faithfulness, his self-control, etc. I was thinking about this in my life with my kids. The big things that most people will lose their mind off of, God, I'm really good at saying, God, you got to give me the right thing. It's the daily things that I'm really bad at. The daily things that they just annoy me. Pick up your clothes. You did what to the car? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, I see parents going, uh-huh. But like big things, are you okay? I love you more than I ever did. I want you to know I'm always proud of you. Those things. So if it's the big things, why not the daily things? So what do we know? Real change is not God, then you. Real change isn't God, not you. Real change is always God through you. It's never about behavior modification. It's always about what? Spiritual transformation. In order for spiritual transformation to be, it's got to be what? There you go. It's a change of heart. And don't miss this. If you only change your behavior, and this is what so many do, but don't change your heart, the behavior will come back. That's why we're not trying to change. That's why we're trusting in change. It's a spiritual motivation, a spiritual power. Real and lasting change reflects God's power through you. So if you're sick of being stuck, I got good news for you. That there's a power outside of you that lives within you that can help you change. So why haven't I? Because you tried and you still work too much. You still neglect your family. You still procrastinating. You still skip church more than you're actually there. You still say and do the things you don't want to do. You're still holding on to a grudge against someone that hurt you a long time ago. You're still spending money on things that don't last and wasting your life embracing the things that don't change anything for the positive. Why do you still do that? There's a lot of sub-reasons, but there's one primary reason. The primary reason is it's a spiritual problem. It's almost always a spiritual problem. Why is it that you haven't changed? Because you're trying to meet a need or relieve a hurt with something besides God's grace. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I want to do the right thing, but I don't. Who's going to help me? Thank God, Jesus can. I'm the least of these. I'm not good enough. I know that. But God's grace on me was not without effect. It changed me, and yet I still do everything to try to do better and to try to do this, but it's not me. It's his grace through me. Remember that same grace that saved you is the same one that changed you. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul says this. After he had this issue and he couldn't get rid of it, God said to him, my grace is all you need. Use a good diet. Buy the app. Get different workouts. Get a budget plan. Hire a nutritionist. Go get a good counselor. Use all that stuff that's available to us in this world. But at the heart of the matter is always do it with God's grace through you. Because his grace is all that you need. And Paul is like struggling over this. What do you mean I need you to fix this? And he said, my grace is all that you need. And he said, but yeah, I'm still messing up. I'm still doing this. And I love what God says next. My power works best in your weakness. And so the Apostle Paul changes. Because I don't have the willpower. You don't have the willpower. I don't have the strength in my mind to constantly go against it. I have weaknesses. And Paul says, ooh, did you say your power works best in my weakness? And he says, so I am going to boast all more about my weakness. Paul says, hey, I did this. I killed Christians. Look at me. I killed Christians. Yay. And you call yourself a preacher? Yeah, I did that because look at what I am now because of God's grace. So I'm going to boast more because God's power shows what is greater. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. It's not God, then me. It's not God, not me. It's God through me. God through me. God through me. God through me continually. And again, one of the problems is do not forget your past. Do not forget the struggles. Because when we forget the struggles, we always act like it's always been good. Like, you know, I know people walk in the door every week. How was your week? It was great. Hey, brother. Hi, sister. And meanwhile, it's living hell. It's okay not to be okay. Because God's power is made best in your weakness, not in your facade. Go ahead and confess your weakness to him, and he'll work in and through that, through his power. God through me, God through me, God through me. So if you find that area where you can't change, stop being ashamed and embrace it. And say, this is an area that God can change it through his power. And if, when you mess up, remember, his grace saves you, his grace changes you, his grace forgives you, his grace strengthens you, because it's not behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation. Because Jesus didn't come to make us better. He came to rescue us and to save us and to change us and to free us. And those who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's stand and let's worship the Lord one more time together in song today. Remember what your homework is this week. To get your spiritual why. It comes from may come from the natural why. But there's stuff in our lives that we all have that we're just like, God, I just want that out of the way. And he may say, my grace is all you need. And you know why I think he said that to Paul ultimately? It's because Paul was looking at what needed to be changed, that thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was. Many people say it was his eyesight. It was something else. But ultimately, God was just reminding him, you need to stop focusing on what's wrong with you and start focusing on what's right in you, and that's me. It's my grace, and that's all you need, and I'll take it. And I bet you once he focused on God's grace, the thorn changed. You never hear him talking about it again. So what is it in our lives that we need to get? We may want to get closer to God, and we may want to feel better. We may want to do whatever. Whatever it is, just lift it up to God here today and say, Lord, I want what you have for me. I want your purpose for my life, and I want your power. I want the why, and I want the how. So let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we just come to you today in this final time as a church and as a body of believers here together, gathered together here and online. And so, Lord, help us just to recognize we're not failures when we've tried something, but more importantly, we just need to get back to you and your spirit. That it's not God, then me. It's not all me and starts with God, but it's that you through me, each and every day, your spirit working in through me. So, Lord, as we enter this time of prayer together, we recognize that we're going to take time also to receive your tithe and offerings, and those visiting, we thank you for visiting, and just want you to receive what God has for you. But for those who are giving today, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be gathered on those gifts and multiply and use them to further your kingdom around the world and in our own community. God, I thank you for the 300 plus boxes that are not just toys and not just things in there, but they're telling someone that there's a God, a Savior who loves them. Thank you for every person who had that giving heart to do that. So, Lord, as we give back during this time, we want to receive what you have in store for us, our why, and spiritual how, our purpose and your power. And there's people that are here to pray with you, just journey with you around the church and the front and the back. And so, God, just help us just to focus on you, not on anything else. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. Nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah,
your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the
Everybody have an awesome week, and you're working on what? Your spiritual? Why? Spiritual why? And spiritual transformation happens because of? Forget it. Get out of here. You guys need to change. All right, bye. Have a great week. God bless. Oh, I stepped on my own.